Many, many years ago, a great and famous hymn writer wrote this hymn. Here's the first verse. He wrote, "I need thee, precious Jesus, for I am full of sin. My soul is dark and guilty. My heart is dead within. I need that cleansing fountain where I can always flee. The blood of Christ most precious, the sinner's perfect plea." Now that's my subject today, the sinner's plea. What can a sinner plead? Does a sinner have a plea? Will God hear a sinner when he pleads? Yes, sir. And I'm going to address that subject, the sinner's plea. I'm going to tell you what a sinner can plead before God and be heard. But first of all, I must find a sinner. Is there in this congregation today a real, genuine, self-confessed, guilty sinner? Is there a sinner listening to my voice? Now, most people do not believe that they're sinners. In fact, most people are offended when you call them sinners. You know, another great hymn writer said this, "A sinner is a sacred thing. The Holy Ghost has made him so." And the Apostle Paul said, "Let every mouth be stopped, and all the world become guilty before God." But there are not many people who will admit to being a sinner, a genuine, guilty sinner before God. But this message will have no meaning to you if you're not a sinner. Because Paul clearly stated that the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And he added, "Of whom I am the chief." Of whom I am the chief. And then one day our Lord was eating with a group of sinners. People who were recognized and known to be sinners. Publicans and sinners. And the religious Pharisees observed him eating with these sinners. And they asked his disciples, said, "Why does your master eat with publicans and sinners?" And the Lord Jesus heard them, knew what they were saying, and he turned to them and said, "The well do not need a physician, but they that are sick. I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Now you go learn what that means. And have you learned what that means? Are you a sinner? I've got to find, if I'm going to deal with the subject, the sinner's plea, then the first thing I've got to find is a sinner. A sinner. Are you a sinner? And then the second thing is this. That sinner has got to realize there's a problem between him and God. Now, he's got to be convinced of that he has trouble. He doesn't have trouble with other sinners because we're all just alike. We're born of the same father, Adam. We're born with the same problem, sin. We all live alike and think alike and talk alike and walk alike. But there's a problem between us and God. And this man's got to recognize that. He's got to realize that the greater guilt and the greater condemnation of his sin is actually his separation from God and his inability to please God. That we are without Christ, without hope, and without God in this world. We're without God. When I find a sinner, I'll find a man who realizes that his sins have separated him and God. That God is at war with him, and he with God. And in the flesh, no man can please God. We find out that even as Isaiah said, our righteousnesses are filthy rags in God's sight. What is pleasing to men and well-pleasing to men is an abomination to God. If I'm truly a sinner, and I am, whether I admit it or not, I can't plead my merit. I don't have any. I can't plead my righteousness because I don't have any. My righteousness is a filthy rags. I can't plead my good deeds because I don't have any. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. David said, man at his best state is altogether vanity. Just like our God is altogether lovely, we're altogether unlovely. Just like our God is altogether holy, altogether righteous, we are altogether unclean. I want to introduce you to the four nuns. Have you ever met the four nuns? Everybody needs to meet the four nuns. And everybody would do well to remember the four nuns. They're found in Romans chapter 3, the four nuns. And you'll remember this by the way I'm saying it. Listen to me. Romans 3, verse 10 says, there's none righteous. No, not one. That's the first one. None righteous. Secondly, there is none that understandeth. We don't understand. We call bitter sweet and sweet bitter. Good evil and evil good. We don't understand the mysteries of God. The third none is there's none that seek after God. None that seek after God. The natural man seeks his way, not God's way. We've all sinned and turned to our own way. And the fourth none is there's none that doeth good. No, not one. None righteous. None that understandeth. None that seek God. And none that doeth good. Now, do you understand that? Have I found a sinner? Have I found a bona fide, genuine, guilty sinner who's got a problem? His sins have separated him from God. And by his own ability, he cannot in the flesh please God. Nothing we do is pleasing to God. Even the plowing of the wicked is an abomination. And the third thing is this. You'll find that the promises of God are inseparably joined to a need. The promises of rest are made to those who need it. The promise of forgiveness is made and held out to sinners, guilty people. You can only forgive a guilty man. And the promise of mercy is for the miserable. Grace is for the guilty. The promise of salvation is for sinners. Christ died for sinners. The Scripture says, listen to these promises. Come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them as white as snow. Are your sins scarlet? Are they red like crimson? They're not? Then I won't make them white as snow. The promise is held out to the needy. Listen to this promise. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Are you laboring, heavy laden with sin? No? Then there's no promise made to those people. The promise is made, is addressed to a need. Weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. When we were without strength, listen, Romans 5. For when we were without strength, weak, powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Are you without strength? Are you ungodly? Heavens, no. Then Christ didn't die for you. He died for the ungodly. He died. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. The promise. Can you understand this? I'm talking about the plea, the sinner's plea. But it's the sinner's plea. And it's the sinner's plea for mercy. For mercy. The miserable sinner. Out of the depths have I cried. And if you're not a sinner, and your sins aren't great, and your sins haven't separated you from God, and your sins haven't rendered you incapable and unable to please God, why do you need any mercy? Then if you realize that grace is for the guilty and salvation is for sinners, Charles Wesley wrote this. Most of these great hymn writers couldn't possibly find a home among us in our so-called worship today. We're too good for them. Charles Wesley wrote this, depth of mercy, can there be mercy reserved for me? Can my God His wrath forbear? What wrath? And me, the chief of sinners, spare? Oh my, if this be your situation, if I have discovered this morning another sinner. You say, another one? Yeah, I'm one. And I'm looking for another one so I can tell him the good news. You know what witnessing is? Witnessing is one beggar telling another beggar where he got something to eat. It's one sinner telling another sinner where he found mercy. It's one guilty man telling another guilty man where he found grace. That is witnessing. Anything else is wasted time. And if this is your situation, if you can say, preacher, you sure found a sinner here. A guilty sinner who has a problem with God, whose sins have separated him from God, then I've got good news for you. I've got a proclamation of pardon to the guilty, mercy for the miserable, and life for the dead. That's right. And I'll show you what the sinner can plead. It's sevenfold. The sinner has a sevenfold plea. Number one, if he wants to know God, if he desires mercy and grace, that's the first thing. He can plead his need. He can plead his need. If you go to the Bible, you'll find that all who came to our Lord while he was in his earthly ministry, earthly pilgrimage, all who came to him, they came because they needed him. They had heard of him, and they believed on him, and they came to him, but what brought them to him was a need. This Canaanite woman came whose daughter was desperately ill. Incurably ill. She came to our Lord and said, Lord, have mercy on me. And he didn't answer a word. Scripture says he never even replied. But she never left. She stood right there. And she said, Lord, have mercy upon me. And he said, I am sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She still didn't move. She said, Lord, have mercy on me. He said, it's not right to give children's bread to dogs. She said, that's right. I'm a dog. I'm a Gentile dog. But you're my master. And dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. And that's when our Lord said, woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee as you desire. This woman had a need. And that need kept her at his feet. Bartimaeus, sitting by the wayside, blind in darkness. Poverty, begging, had a need. And he cried out of that need, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And our Lord stood still and called him to him. And he said, what do you want? He said, Lord, that I may see. And he's the only one who could meet Bartimaeus' need and is the only one who can meet my need. I need a righteousness, a holiness, with which the Father will be well pleased. I don't have it. I need a substitute. I need a Savior. I need someone to bear my sins in His body on a tree. I need a mediator. I need one to pray for me, intercede for me, an advocate to stand between me and God and plead my cause. Do you? I have a need. That brings me to Christ. Secondly, I can plead not only my need, but I can plead His mercy. That's what the publican set forth. He came to the temple. Now the Pharisee, Christ said, two men went up to the temple to pray. One of them, very religious. One of them a sinner, a publican. The very religious man stood before God, right down front. And he began to boast about what he was and who he was and what he had done. He said, I'm not like other men. I fast twice a week. I tithe my income and I give alms to the poor, and I'm not an adulterer, and I'm not an extortioner. And our God said he went home damned, condemned, and doomed in his own self-righteousness. But way back there in the back, a fellow that wouldn't so much as lift his eyes to heaven, let alone his hands. But he smote on his chest, and he cried, oh God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And my Lord said, that man went to his house forgiven and justified. He didn't plead his merit like the Pharisee or his good works. He pleaded one thing. Before God, he said, "Be merciful. Be merciful. Have mercy upon me." David prayed that way. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies." That's the basis of our plea. God, be merciful. I don't want justice, do you? We want mercy. If we get justice, we'll be damned. Scripture said in Psalm 130, "If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, who could stand? But there's forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared." And John said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. What's the sinner's plea? He pleads his need. I'm a sinner. He pleads God's mercy upon sinners. And then thirdly, he can plead the right of Jesus Christ to show mercy to whom he will. My friends, God is not obligated to us. God is not obligated to forgive us. He's not obligated to pardon us. He's not obligated to show mercy to us. He doesn't owe us mercy. He owes us the wages of sin. We've earned that. It belongs to us. The wages of sin is death. That's what we've earned. But the gift of God's eternal life, he doesn't owe us any mercy. Listen to that thief on the cross. First of all, he acknowledged that Jesus Christ was God. He turned to his companion who was also dying on a cross, and he said, "Don't you fear God? Don't you fear God seeing you in the same condemnation? This man is God. This is the Lord." And he said, secondly, he acknowledged his sin. He said, "Seeing we're in the same condemnation, and we indeed justly, we're getting the due reward of our deeds. I'm getting what I deserve." If God Almighty is not pleased to save you or me, if he's pleased to pass us by, it'll be just exactly what we deserve. We're getting what we deserve. And then also he talked about the holiness of Christ. He said, "This man has done nothing amiss." And then he looked at Christ. Now listen to me. And he said, "Lord, you're not going to stay dead. You're coming into a kingdom. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. You're a king. You have all authority, all power, all rights, all privilege. Will you, listen, will you think on me? Remember me." So this man, the plea of the sinner was this: "Lord, you be merciful to me, a sinner." Can you plead that? I'm a sinner. Jesus Christ is the God-man. He has all power in heaven and earth. He has all authority over all flesh. Lord, remember me. All right, here's the fourth. Now listen to me. I can plead my need. I can plead his mercy. I can plead his right to show mercy. And then I can plead, listen to this carefully now, I can plead the power and ability of Christ because of who he is, because of his person, who he is, what he did, where he is now, enables him to do for us what we need to have done. Listen to Hebrews 7:24. Hebrews 7:24. "This man, because he continueth forever, hath an unchanging priesthood." This man, this God man, because he continueth forever, hath an unchanging priesthood. "Wherefore, he is able to save them that come to God by him." You understand what I'm saying? I'm saying that who Jesus Christ is, who he is, what he did, and where he is, gives him the right and the power to exercise mercy or judgment, grace or condemnation. You see, he's able to do all that he promised. Abraham believed that. Abraham believed that God was able to do all that he promised. Jude said he's able to keep us from falling. He's able because of who he is. This man, because he hath an unchanging priesthood, because he continues forever, he is able to save. He's able to keep that which I've committed to him. He's able to raise our vile bodies and make them like his. One day our Lord came down from the mountain, Matthew chapter 8. And when he came down from that mountain, the scripture said he was approached by a leper, an unclean leper. And this man fell down and worshiped Christ. And this is what he said, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And my friends, I'm not preaching that Christ is trying to do anything. He's not trying. He does what he wills to do. The Son will quicken whom he will. Moses said, "Lord, show me your glory." He said, "My glory is this. I will be merciful to whom I will be merciful. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious." And this leper said, "Lord, if you will." It's not if I will or anybody else will. If you will, you have the power. You can make me clean. And that's my plea. I plead my need. I plead his mercy. He delights to show mercy. I plead his power. And I plead his right to exercise that power and to show mercy to whom he will. Now, listen to this. 5. I plead his blood. Do you think Christ died on the cross in vain? Do you think that he could possibly fail to accomplish what he came to do? The scripture said, "If God spared not his own Son, how shall he not with him freely give us all things?" I believe the blood of Christ is sufficient and effectual to completely save from all sin and condemnation all for whom he died. You know, the blood on the door in Egypt delivered all who were under the blood. God said, "When I see the blood, I'll pass over you." And every house, the scripture said, every house where the blood was on the door, God passed over in mercy. And every house where there was no blood, death visited. Death visited. And I'll tell you, the blood of God's Son is infinitely more sufficient, infinitely more effectual, infinitely more powerful to deliver than the blood of that Passover lamb in Egypt. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If Christ died for us, we'll be redeemed. Paul said, "Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather is risen again, who is ascended to the right hand of God, who ever lives to make intercession for us." Payment God's justice cannot twice demand. First at my bleeding surety's hand, then again at mine. I plead the merits of his blood. The blood is sufficient. The Passover lamb in Egypt is typical of Christ, who is our Passover. They put the blood on the door, went in the house, and sat down. And God passed through. "When I see the blood, I'll pass over you." Here's the 6th plea. The sinner can plead his command. His command. Preacher, don't you mean invitation? No, I mean command. The gospel is a command. God commands all men everywhere to repent. God doesn't invite men to repent. Even the laws of our land do not invite people to obey them. They command you to obey them upon penalty for disobeying. God doesn't invite men to believe the gospel. He commands men to believe. Men ought to believe the gospel. There's no alternative. We either believe the gospel or we make God a liar. And I'll tell you this, when the command comes to repent and believe, with the command comes the power. With the command comes the power. Matthew, follow me. He arose and followed him. Zacchaeus, come down. He came down. Lazarus, here's a dead man. Lazarus, come forward. With the command goes the power. And Lazarus came forth alive. There was a man with a withered hand. Christ said, stretch forth your hand. He couldn't, but he did. There was a man lying on a bed, 38 years afflicted. Our Lord said, take up your bed and walk. That's a command. That's not an invitation. That's a command. And with the command came the power. Abraham, get out of your father's house. He left. All the way through the scripture, you find our Lord giving commands to people. And with the command goes the power. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. And when you hear this gospel, not just with these ears, but this heart, the gospel comes to you not in word only, but in power. Power, life-giving power. You'll respond. And last, I can plead this, my compliance with His terms. Lord, what would you have me do? Confess my sins, I do. Believe on Christ, I do. Trust Him, I do. Commit yourself to Him, I do. That's the sinner's plea. May God give us the grace to exercise the sinner's plea.